Jhené Angola Jr., the podcast.
Changing seasons. Winter is coming. One of the greatest shows of all time, ladies and gentlemen. We might be entering cuffing season. Jhené Angola Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Jhené Ogunwa K. Mike Golick Jr., Capital One, All-American, or all of the above from Notre Dame. We're giving them plenty of love, especially with Claypool doing his thing. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, I mentioned cuffing season because the definition is if you want to lock someone down through the holiday season when it gets really cold to keep you warm, another option, buying a heated blanket. But it's okay. We don't talk about that here.
buying a body pillow and a heated blanket can accomplish the same thing. Stay woke.
I'm still going to buy it just in case for a plan B. But we've got a really fantastic submission outlining what cuffing season should be or could be. But make sure you guys stick around because in about 10 minutes, we will preview the nightcap of today's Monday Night Football matchup in the NFL, where the new quarterback gets debuted in Dallas. But again, we're asking all of you guys, when does cuffing season officially start? And you can check that out and give us the news from Jhené Angola Jr. Nation at Mike Golick Jr. at Jhené. Hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. So tell me, what is it about this cuffing calendar, Junior, that you found?
Yeah, so we got a great submission here. And cuffing season cuts both ways now. This is guys, this is girls, this is everyone looking to cuddle
people up. Opportunity.
Exactly. So keep that in mind as I list off what at the Sean says tweeted into us. He gave us the entire calendar. May to July is the combine. You're working out. Everyone's trying to get in their best shape of your life going into cuffing season. August is pro days. We're talking only, exchange some text messages. September is the draft. You make your intentions known here, start to declare a little bit. October and November is officially hashtag cuffing season. Then you get to the holidays, playoff time. With New Year's Eve, your conference championship season. New Year's Day, Black Monday, where the losers start to get ghosted in this situation. Then Valentine's Day comes your Super Bowl. So there you go. I'm pretty comfortable co-signing this, Jhené. It seems like a pretty accurate look at the season that we are all now smack dab in the middle of.
Another good submission that I got was when we start wearing Uggs.
We start wearing Uggs when you start going and making sure you're hitting up the fine scented candle section of your department store.
I love that you're a candle guy. Like, that's more bonus points. Like, what's your favorite flavor of candle?
I think any combination of apple and cinnamon, I think, is the ideal fall flavor of one of my, I believe at last count, 27 candles.
Yeah, I've bought probably 5 in the last week. My favorite flavors are lavender and vanilla. No surprise there.
So also, can we make sure that girls' Uggs don't lean anymore? Like, if they start leaning, like, while you're walking, like, they're, you know, there's a slight slant in your feet
you
as you're walking.
You seem really needy. Like, why do you have to judge the Uggs?
You can't. Bro. Like, they just got to retire the Uggs at that point, right?
Got to send those Uggs packing at that point.
As long as you retire Tim's at some point, too.
Mike, Tim's and Uggs, a sure sign that cuffing season is 100%. Upon us right now.
You're right, though. You're right, Cliff. You don't want, like, soggy Uggs.
No, exactly. That's the last thing we need. With all the things going on in the world right now, soggy Uggs are the last thing we need on the menu here.
That's actually my favorite flavor of candle, soggy Uggs.
Jhené Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golick Jr. and Jhené Angola K. I'm getting so far away.
It's the last hour. You know how we do.
Riding off the rails, and it's only Monday. We're still here, and we got stuff that we need to get off our chest. The Dodgers are in the World Series. People are coming after the nerds, and we're not going to have it. It's time for One and Done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and Done.
And Jhené, I'll start things off on this one because this weekend we heard a lot of analytics bashing going on in NFL booths around the country, and the general conversation goes, if a decision is made in an NFL football game that people don't like, let's go to the analytics boogeyman to lay blame for all of our needs in here. Romeo Crennel was one that found himself in the crosshairs this weekend. He's the interim head coach for the Houston Texans right now, for a team that had won a whopping 1 football game on the season. A bad football team trying to get something going after making a coaching change. He went for 2 in the Titans loss when he was up 7 in that point, trying to make it a 2-possession game. Didn't get it. Tennessee was able to tie it, go into overtime and win it. And the nerd bashing began. Now, in this instance, it is worth noting that Romeo Crennel going for an aggressive decision, saying he had a bad football team that he wanted to instill some confidence in going forward, our ESPN analytics model would have favored the kick in that situation. But that didn't stop a lot of people in this instance, because anything that is aggressive football that the old guard can't stomach is now analytics and is now bad. And it's a reminder. So many people want to quote Herm Edwards, hello, you play to win the game. But very few people want to actually live that. Now, most of you would rather sit at the blackjack table and stay on a 14 while dealer is showing face. Most of you would rather go down striking out with the bat on your back, seeing strike three go down the middle of the plate right now. I don't know when along the line of this hyper-competitive gladiator sport that we were playing that we all settled for just playing not to lose in this situation. But at the very least, look at these situations, and if you don't know the analytics behind it, stop blaming the numbers for it. Information science and the science of better decision making is what led to the team winning that game, actually getting to that point, because remember, everyone's going to heap praise on Titans coach Mike Vrabel, who put 12 men on the field intentionally, took a penalty that gave Houston a first down that would ultimately save Tennessee valuable clock time that helped them win the game, tie it in regulation, and go to overtime. That all happens because you've got competent numbers people that help you run through these situations, the art of making better decisions. So save the boogeyman talk for someone else. Analytics is in the building. It's time we let it out of the basement. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got to get myself self-snaps.
And then you go, and that's on period, poo.
Poo?
That's what you say, period, poo. Don't think the other thing like number two. Also, should we just leave out Coach Ron Rivera and what happened with the Giants, or should we just leave that?
We're going to leave that game out entirely. That game not going to overtime was a gift to all of us.
Very true. Very true.
What do you got for us tonight?
Well, today we talked about how rough it is to be an Atlanta sports fan. I feel you and the L. Duncans of the world dearly. But my people here in LA right now are kind of on the other side of the spectrum, because about a week ago, 8 days to actually be exact, LeBron James and the Lakers delivered another championship to the city. And now another LA team is on the same track. The Dodgers could give LA two professional sports championships in barely 2 weeks. Two teams with ridiculous expectations, one down, one to go. Now, in a season that was shortened to two-thirds of its normal schedule because of the pandemic, a season in which one of their best starting pitchers, David Price, was not playing, in a season full of activism, also advocating for social justice, which, by the way, some may not remember that Mookie Betts decided to sit out of a game and his teammates followed, showing that leadership and solidarity, the Dodgers, despite what everyone thought a few days ago when they were down 3-1 in the NLCS, they stuck together. They are talented, they feel the pressure, and it has been 32 years since they've won a World Series, but it finally feels like this could be the time we put it all together. Is it fireworks? Fireworks, maybe? We'll just have to wait and see.
It may be fireworks coming up, but it snaps for right now. And I'm with you, Chinee. What a cap it would be for the LA sports year, like you mentioned. And it means a lot to everybody involved. I think seeing the emotion of this run, we got to talk to Dave Roberts, friend of the show, the Dodgers manager, on our show, and you could tell how much this meant to him. And hearing him after the game, here was their manager, just talking about everything you mentioned that went into a season that created such an emotional instance as they're on the precipice of a World Series.
I don't know. It's just been to see where we came, and I preface this by saying the job's not done, and we all understand that. But I think that to start with pandemic and a lot of things going on and guys not with their families and all the social injustice, it's been a lot of sacrifices from guys. And guys are uncomfortable, but still to kind of buy into the Dodgers and what we're doing to win baseball games and to make such a difficult year in some instances positive in a championship year for the Los Angeles Dodgers, the city of Los Angeles. So had our backs against the walls and had to win three games in a row against a very good ball club. And so there's a lot of things that had to happen, and we did it. So, I don't know, it was just a kind of all came together, and I was just really happy for our guys.
And Chinee, we talked to Jeff Passan before, our ESPN MLB insider, that said there are more similarities than differences between the Rays and the Dodgers, despite the gross disparity in payroll in this situation. I know a lot of people probably won't be running to root for the Dodgers in a spot, considering they have the second highest payroll in baseball. But I think people saw Mookie Betts put on display countless times throughout this year, and certainly this past series, why he's so special. And I feel like having a young star like that who seems so likable and so gifted is a huge feather in the cap of a franchise looking to get over the hump that might implore people to maybe look their way a little more.
I mean, young star, plural. Because you see what Cody Bellinger did. We talked about his defensive play, that amazing catch, but then also the homer. That like, so to have those type of top tier talent, it can only help you when you're entering a World Series.
It's so true. And coming off the confidence of coming back down 3-1, but also down two games multiple times. They started off in an 0-2 hole before that 3-1. Gives a team a ton of confidence to work with. But coming up next, let's go back to the NFL and find a team that's looking for any place for confidence and why they might get it from a very unlikely source. That's next. It's Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
Today at Golic Jr., the podcast.
Okay. Energy. We're going to tap into this topic. But first, when you get a text from boys, not men, that you haven't talked to in months or all year, that is when you know it's cuffing season. That's at Jolie Taylor on Twitter. Chenan Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chenan Ogwumike, Mike Golic Jr. Now, in a few minutes, we will talk to our own NFL analyst to get us ready for Andy Dalton's debut in Dallas. But how do you feel about that cuffing season definition? Because that was on point.
Mina Kimes going to join us here in a couple of minutes. Chenan, I was so terrified when you were saying that you were airing out some dude that just texted you right now and tried to do you dirty like that and not reading a tweet. And so I was sitting here waiting to just like guzzle tea that you seemed ready to overflow on the show.
No.
But I'm glad that some little boy isn't messing with your heart right now. And I hope that it's not happening to whoever tweeted that, because that ain't the way. Like, that's, I can assure you, fellas, if you are looking to lob a Hail Mary right now and you have not been putting in the time leading up to this, back away slowly and do not get yourself hurt.
One more time for the people in the back. When you get a text from boys, not men, that you haven't spoken to in months or all year, that's when you know when it's cuffing season. But we're in the NFL season, okay? And we have a really good matchup tonight. Cowboys-Cardinals. I know it's a lot of people are disappointed because it was hard to watch Dak Prescott go down to ankle injury last week. But the Cowboys, they have to find ways to keep moving forward. And they're going up against a Cardinals team, which is, again, my side piece team. I guess I do have too many of those. Well, I guess it's good for cuffing season, I guess. You look at the Cardinals, they have a lot of offensive firepower. How do you feel going into this matchup, knowing that it's going to be Andy Dalton, backup quarterback, now starting, and then also going up against a talented offense?
Yeah, I think in this instance, Chine, we have to remember what Andy Dalton is. And I've always said, as you look, we had that Joe Flacco's elite conversation for so long that became a meme. Andy Dalton is really, in my mind, the line of demarcation. Like, he is right there. On the years in Cincinnati where A.J. Green was healthy, the rest of that offensive line in front of him had bodies, and they had enough weapons to get by. Andy Dalton was a quarterback that could land himself in the Pro Bowl. Andy Dalton was a quarterback that helped the Bengals go to a couple of postseason appearances. Andy Dalton is also a quarterback, when those things aren't there, tends to fold up and kind of fall to the level of his weapons. And I think here in Dallas, he's in a situation where, yeah, the offensive line is certainly a far cry from what it was back in 2016, 2014, that range. But he's got weapons everywhere he looks on the outside. Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb. I mean, the list goes on and on in this one. Amari Cooper, Zeke Elliott in the backfield, that I think Andy Dalton is not going to blow you away. He's not going to be on track for 6,000 yards like Dak Prescott was. But in this god-awful division, him at quarterback still gives the Cowboys a great opportunity to go out there, play the Big 12 football that Andy Dalton is used to, a TCU grad, and find a way to win.
Yeah, it's just funny because you're talking about exactly what I want to talk about. The NFC East is such a struggle that if the Cowboys find a way to win, they'd be a game and a half in the lead, which sort of blows your mind considering how things have gone for that division. But, you know, I'm looking at this. Okay, Andy Dalton is a guy that you're happy he has experience and he knows what it's like to work with talent, and he can actually make you believe that you're still going to win given losing Dak Prescott, who we're talking about like big picture things, was on track despite the record to look like he's putting up, you know, historic numbers for the NFL, which is why it was so hard to see him go down. But now on the other side of the ball, you've got Kyler Murray, who also has weapons of his own. How do you feel about the Cardinals stepping into this matchup? Because I feel like they probably want to go in saying that, you know what, we might have the advantage here.
And to look at that, it's time for our Monday Night Football kickoff brought to you by Progressive Insurance. And Chenae, I look at that and I expect Kyler Murray in this offense, now that DeAndre Hopkins connection that's going to make another team in Texas very, very upset each and every time they take the field, because it's been NFL pacing. It's been prolific through this season. I expect them to go out here and eat against a Dallas defense that has seemed flat out lost through the majority of the season, but they've got a chance on the other side. I mean, I don't think Arizona's defense has necessarily blown anyone away. We know dealing without Chandler Jones, Isaiah Simmons, their top overall pick, has not been a guy that's seen the field very much this year. Like, Dallas's defense is 25th in NFL defensive efficiency right now. That is a group that is going to get gouged. And so I think Dallas has shown us already they're capable of trying to go out there, go score for score with you, and win in a barn burner. Now, I expect Arizona to win this game. I think Arizona is a fringe playoff team, especially in the expanded format. I've been saying that for a while, and I think it's going to take Dallas some time because I don't think you can just flex back and become a great running team now all of a sudden. Zeke Elliott has been able to eat this year primarily because that passing game gives you better looks inside, gives you more open lanes for a guy like that to go out there and rush. And so ultimately, I don't think the formula changes much for Dallas. The problem is even when you had a quarterback that was a guy that was in the top five, top, you know, top 10 conversation for a quarterback, winning was still a challenge for you. It doesn't get easier with Andy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sort of erring on the side of the Cardinals as well, because the Cardinals, they haven't had a Monday night football game. Like, they're ready for the spotlight. They haven't had a Monday night game since 2017, and so now you get to display your talents. And, you know, even think about Cliff Kingsbury. He took a lot of heat from people just because of the way he got this position so quickly and seamlessly, but now it seems like things are sort of working towards their favor. And so under the bright lights, especially with DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, it's one of those situations where you look at an ex and your ex wants to show that they're glowing and shining and that we're doing well. So yeah, I think the Cardinals will be suiting up and they'll be excited to have, you know, an opportunity to play under the bright lights. But at the same time, like, maybe it's better to take some of the expectation on the Cowboys off the Cowboys and let them perform as the underdogs for a while.
And I think that's going to be the case for a little bit now, because on the other side, DeAndre Hopkins, 45 receptions this season, is tied for fourth most through the team's first five games in NFL history. And our own ESPN Monday Night Football analyst Lewis Riddick weighed in on what he expects to see from Dallas in their first game out after a very emotional loss of their starting quarterback last time we saw them.
Yeah, I think it's more of what they were doing before, which is they still want to run this offense through Ezekiel Elliott. They want to stay on schedule with that and make sure they establish that part of their offense and then build everything off of that. Now, I know it hasn't looked like that necessarily through the first 4 weeks of the season because they've gotten behind and had to throw the ball a lot, but they still want to run the football and then take their shots off of play action pass, which when they've had opportunities to do that, Zubin, mm-hmm. so far this year, they're one of the best in the NFL.
And you can catch Lewis Riddick, Brian Greasy, Steve Levy, and Lisa Salters all as a part of Monday Night Football. Again, the Cardinals and the Cowboys. That preview is brought to you by Progressive Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I have a quick question.
What's that?
You know, I'm here in LA, so I can't see the whole studio and our whole family crew. How's the Queen Christine Lisi doing?
Christine is in the building right now. Christine is up. She's been pacing around here. Buffalo is lined up for a field goal that it unfortunately looks like they have missed going into the half. So it is 13-10 Chiefs at the half, but it's been an incredible game so far. Christine in here breaking down the X's and O's for everyone else in the studio. So we're going to try and get her through the rest of this game peacefully and in one piece. It's been really entertaining back and forth. It's been what we expect of two of the best in the AFC. But coming up next, Lewis Riddick talked about establishing the run. We've been talking about Derrick Henry, a running back, maybe in the MVP conversation. So there is only one person I can think, a run game running back aficionado, that we have to bring on. Our very own Mita Kimes is going to join us next. It's Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Shanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Stanford, Notre Dame. Our next guest is perfect. Yale. Because we're about to nerd out. And after, you know, this conversation, in about 10 minutes, Junior is going to take that to a whole nother level. Shanae and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Now, Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, is going to join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Make sure you guys follow her. Check out her podcast, The Mina Kimes Show, featuring Lenny. Also see her on NFL Live. She's an NFL analyst. I said this a million times, but she's joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Now, Mina, before we get to the meat of the issue when it comes to football, I have to ask you, when is it officially cuffing season?
Did you say cussing season?
Cuffing season.
Okay, you'll have to elaborate.
Well, cuffing season is when you want to boo for the holidays.
Oh, so it's not like cuffing your pants. Okay. I didn't know that. I have been in a relationship for a very long time. It's not obvious. So I been a long time since I guess I was in cuffing season. I think it depends where you live, right? Because, you know, in L.A., like, we can actually be outside now. I see people socializing safely outside, so I think they're all right. But where you guys live, where Golic lives, I think it starts early.
I appreciate that we have found the one thing that the internet savviest person I know, someone who is way more in tune with pop culture than I am, and Mina Kimes, does not know in cuffing season.
Man, I'm old. I'm older than you guys.
No, but the thing is,
let me live.
Age is just a number, and you're usually more dialed into TikTok and everything that young kids are doing than I am. So
TikTok.
I like how that's my barometer for everything here. Mina Kimes, our NFL analyst, with us in here. Thought cuffing season had to do with pants on the show. Pennzoil Performance Line. Mina, speaking of anything but having to do with cuffing season right now, we've got two Monday Night Football games on tonight. We know the strange COVID situations that have led to this. We've got one half in the books for Chiefs and Bills. What stood out for you most so far?
Well, it looks miserable, so I'll start there. I'm glad I'm not in Buffalo, because you could see the weather was affecting both quarterbacks early on. And you know, it's interesting. Mahomes has been playing, I think, fairly conservatively. You've seen the Chiefs settling into a quick passing game that's sort of been missing since week one, and doing it with some success as well as running the football. I think it's pretty strategic, given how the Bills defense is playing them, which is not unlike how several defenses have played them with some success, not really blitzing, settling back into zones, and they're doing well. On the other side of the football, you know, Allen is actually airing it out. Mixture of misses and drops, otherwise they'd have some big plays. But it's weird, actually. The Chiefs defense are playing him pretty similarly to how the Bills defense are playing Mahomes, and I think both teams are having probably an equal amount of success so far.
And speaking of success, we sort of were thinking of the big picture here, considering we didn't get to see Russell Wilson this week. We're looking at MVP contenders, and we know you're the first one to defend, you know, Russell Wilson and say that this guy deserves an MVP vote. But we also were trying to put, you know, Derrick Henry in the conversation. Do you think he's a legit MVP contender, considering what he did last season and is carrying it over to now?
No. Sorry. I love Derrick Henry. He's a great back, and he's one of the very few running backs in this league who I do think really do transcend scheme and box count, and that's reflected, by the way, statistically in sort of his rushing above expectation, which is a cool next-gen stat that they started putting out this season. But the offense flows through Ryan Tannehill. And by the way, Ryan Tannehill is having a great season. We probably should be talking about him more, but Derrick Henry is not the most valuable player on that team.
Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Mina, I'm not surprised that the running back was not in your MVP count here.
I'm not a hater,
but we look at, you know, modern football and the way that it's gone, and we understand even a team like the Titans isn't necessarily working through their running back in the same way that people want to, like, lump the narrative on. And a lot of that has to do with the way we've changed looking at football. And I saw that you, like I, came up in defense of analytics. You live much more in the community of a better understanding of it, and saw the way decisions like Romeo Crennel going for two this weekend were A, blamed on analytics, and B, attacked for that aggressiveness. How frustrating is it to see analytics kind of treated as the boogeyman that people can blame for whatever they want?
Yeah, that's really frustrating, that particular situation, because as I tweeted, our colleague Seth Walder, who's in our analytics group at ESPN, pointed out to me the ESPN model actually favored kicking the extra point, right, based on win probability. There's a counterexample where Bill Belichick went for two down nine. That's an example of analytically informed thinking. And in the night game as well, you heard Al Michaels and Chris Collins were talking about that debate, because that sort of reflects this, okay, do you want the knowledge of having to score two scores earlier, yada, yada. That's analytics. Being aggressive, playing to win, playing, which is what Romeo Crennel was doing, that's not about analytics. That's just coaching. That's just thinking that, A, your team was really nothing to lose and your back's against the wall. B, your offense is much better than your defense. And it's so frustrating to see those kind. You can argue with that decision. You can say it was wrong. You can, you know, quibble with the play call. But the notion that it stems from analytics is what frustrates me, that it's sort of just become this catch-all for blaming every aggressive coaching decision.
Always good decision to have you here with us, Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst, because you always give it to us straight. And speaking of which, the second half of the nightcap is the Cowboys-Cardinals. What can we expect in Andy Dalton's debut?
I think he'll play well because he gets to play against the Cardinals' defense. So he's got that going for him. I expect this to be a high-scoring game, both teams, I'll say that. I thought Andy looked good last week, but, you know, you never want to make a snap judgment based on the backup coming in, defense isn't ready for them, all the adrenaline, all the craziness. But the Cowboys, are absolutely loaded at wide receiver. They've got Ezekiel Elliott, and that offensive line is extraordinarily banged up. But this Arizona pass rush, which just lost Chandler Jones, isn't going to give them a lot of trouble. So I think Andy's shown in the past that he can produce when he's not under a lot of pressure, when he's surrounded by playmakers, and I think that's going to be the case tonight.
Mina Kimes, in addition to being an NFL analyst for us and a podcast host, noted Bachelor and Bachelorette enthusiast. Mina, we're getting ready for night two tomorrow, maybe the most shocking, controversial season ever with Claire Crawley at the lead. Big takeaways from the opening night last week, Mina. What are you looking forward to going into the rest of this season?
Well, Mike, there are three former NFL players. We kind of use that term gently. It's usually,
great practice squad players.
Yeah, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. It's totally legitimate. But I think you and I were both a little bit, I was embarrassed on your behalf by the offensive lineman. It was a former wide receiver, I think two former wide receivers and a former offensive lineman, and the offensive lineman was kind of a goober. So I'm hoping, he puts on a little bit better show tomorrow, just for your kind.
I would like to see that as well. I believe the line was, "You're the prettiest girl I've ever met since my mom." So,
oh, that was cute. That was Linda. I like that one. That was cute.
That was endearing.
It plays too much. And we have like a big stereotype in the O-line community. Chiney, we're big. You know,
better than stuffing your belly and going up and saying what's good.
Like, also a fair point. That was a bold move.
Yeah, he did that too.
Or straight jacket.
Yeah. That was rough. That was a rough one.
It's going to make a great post-credit scene, though. Mark my words when he's gone in two episodes. Follow her on Twitter, at Mina Kimes. Check out the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny and NFL Live. Mina, enjoy the second half of this game in the Monday night doubleheader tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, all.
Mina Kimes with us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And not surprised she didn't take the running back bait there, Chiney. I think we're going to have to go elsewhere if we want to get Derrick Henry.
She said no.
Just flat out. That's a tough one. I tell you what, speaking of running backs, we're watching this Monday night game right now like everybody else. Second half just kicking off for Buffalo and Kansas City. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been running like a man who realizes that Le'Veon Bell just showed up in town. Not suited up tonight. He is there and he is waiting. There's nothing quite like that pressure. But we got to nerd out a little bit there with Mina. She, as I expected, defended the honor of analytics much more eloquently than I did. But coming up next, that's not even the nerdiest sports-related thing that we have mustered from this weekend. Physics and sports collide, literally and figuratively. Next, it's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Chiney and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I didn't wait for the beat. Don't hate me for that. Chiney Agomike, Mike Golic Jr. Chiney and Golic Jr., where all are welcome, even those who tweet us saying, can we call them candle scents, not flavors, please? Because I don't want to think about eating wax. Fair point. Now, really, really have to thank everyone that came through in our family today. Diana Russini, our ESPN NFL reporter, who took us behind the scenes on the impact that the weather is making in the Chiefs-Bills game. I also want to thank our own Christine Lisi, the queen, who's kept it together, especially through her fandom with the Bills. Elle Duncan, SportsCenter host, who is an Atlanta sports fan that officially named them her side piece team. You can find out who her main piece is on our podcast. Jeff Passan, MLB Insider, who set the scene for the World Series and also named the team who knows, it's their time to bring it home. And then most importantly, Mina Kimes, just because she shut it all down, she told it to us straight about a certain player in the MVP conversation that we were trying to slide in. And she was like, oh, no, 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 not today. You can check out all those conversations on the Chiney and Golic Jr. podcast.
You can. It was a fun day. And like for us, like we're back now. We're back. We got full shows this week. It feels good to be back here. We didn't pull anything on the way in. You feeling good? We're feeling limber after this?
I feel like we didn't act up too bad. Like, we kept it together.
We got close, like, the cuffing season. I was so happy hearing Mina Kimes, who, like, Mina Kimes is, like, the cool kids table here at ESPN. I think everyone sees that from the outside. And when she didn't know what cuffing season won, I felt like that was a win for us, Janae.
Absolutely. And I'm still seeing some things, and I will not say it, because last time I almost got myself in trouble.
All right, you know what? We're going to save you and save us from ourselves in this one. The end of the show, we want to keep that same energy. Cliff, let's hit it. We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Janae, before we get to copious amounts of shade that were thrown the way of ACC football teams this weekend, pretty cool moment, an announcement that came today. Doc Emrick announced he's retiring right now. Longtime NHL announcer. Called over 3,750 professional Olympic hockey games, used 100 different verbs to describe his shot. This is the NHL on CBS's tweet for it, and called 22 Stanley Cup finals. Unbelievable. One of the voices of hockey for so many people, maybe the voice of hockey for so many people, hanging it up. Hell of a run for 40 years.
Yeah, Doc Emrick, he's 74 years old, and he served 47 years in the booth, which is a tremendous achievement.
Good Lord. It's an impressive one, one that we could all only hope to match in this career. So a big congrats on retirement to Doc Emrick. I'm sure he will enjoy the time off
Absolutely.
In this one. Keeping that same energy, Chennai, we're a show. You're a show that enjoys to embrace the nerdy side, Stanford,
oh, yeah.
Notre Dame backgrounds.
Get nerdy with it.
What was your guys' nerd motto at Stanford?
Nerd Nation.
Nerd
we were
Nation.
Nerd City. Nerd City Kid, nerd City Kid, A's, A's, A's and B's on my transcript. Andrew Luck on my let me stop.
No, you guys.
There's a video.
Oh, well. All right, well, we've got homework tonight to find that video.
Gosh, why did I do that to
of
myself?
Nerd prowess from Stanford side. Notre Dame side came to play, though, Chiney. You'll appreciate this. Pete Sampson, Notre Dame beat reporter for The Athletic, friend of the show, has joined us before. Wrote a column on Notre Dame this weekend and tweeted this. God bless the comment section at The Athletic. I said I need to talk to a Notre Dame physics professor to understand how Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, Notre Dame's star first-round draft pick linebacker, hits so hard. And a Notre Dame physics professor explained it within 90 minutes of the story going up in the comment section. Listen to this. Pete, ND physics grad and current physics professor here. The key behind Wu's incredible hard hits is impulse, not force. Impulse is a measure of change in the object's momentum as a result of applied force. To oversimplify it, it's F times T equals M times VF minus VI, where F is force, T is time, M is mass, VF and VI are the velocity before and after collision. What in the world? What in the world?
Look, that's when you know your team is legit, when the professors and the physicists are out there doing the good work of explaining to people things that can't be explained.
Things that can't be explained. Things that were a lot easier to explain, Chiney, was the whooping that Clemson put on Georgia Tech this weekend. 73-3.
And they 73 minus 7, go.
70.
73 minus 7, go. 70,
oh, minus 7?
Yes.
I didn't come here to do math, Chiney. 66. Lock in.
Oh, you talk just to get yourself time to do the math.
Absolutely.
I get it.
And I'm going to give myself time for this right now. Clemson, in defeat, shaded Georgia Tech hard. 404 not found tweets coming after. They got the 404 area code down there on the field. And Clemson tweeted out, said, how many yards did Trevor Lawrence throw for today? All of that, Chiney, was a delay to get to this because we have unearthed video of Chiney Agumake rapping that our producer Devin is apparently going to play for us now.
Whoa.
Lay out, give it space. Devin, go ahead and hit play on this.
We are Stanford. We're going to the Final Four. We're going to show the world the nerds want some more. Woo-hoo. Neck a kill. She showed everybody how to play. Everybody knows how to do it the carnal way. Jay Tinks with the big old bun. She made sure our team was not one and done. Everybody worked so hard today. I'm just so excited that everything went our way.
B-A-R-S bars, son.
I can't believe y'all found it so quickly. One, two, that was my freestyle. Yeah, thank you, Clem. Show me some love. Your girl always did the rap to motivate her team before the game, and I would throw some shade based on the scouting report. But yeah, I've retired.
Wow. Oh, you retired from the game
right now?
I've retired.
Only Rick Ross can bring me back out.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Friend of the show, Rick Ross, once said, you've got potential. It smells like we need to have him on, see if he can grade the freestyle from Chinee Agbumike right now. We're going to take it over. Go enjoy the rest of Monday Night Football. Spain and Fitz, top that next.